alaikum rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. I request to all of you, please come forward. Kareeb aajaye. Now, we're going to start our program with the tilawat of Quran. For that, I would like to call Hafiz Muhammad Siddiq Sahab Qibla for Suratul Mulk.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله على النبي الأمي وآله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فتور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذب وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير وأسروا قولهم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاسبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير. أولم يروا إلى الطين فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جود لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتب ونفور أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذراكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين.
نحمده ونسلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا حبيب الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله with the توفيق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again we are assembled in Masjid Quba to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our haziri, alhamdulillah. Ameen summa ameen. Alhamdulillah, between us, our guest speaker, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Mahim Sahab Qibla, Khatib o Imam Jama Masjid, is here, alhamdulillah. He is the good speaker in English, mashallah. Bayan, inshallah, will be English. So don't worry. Bas hamari aadat hai, this is our habit. कि जब स्पीकर इंग्लिश होता है तो भी नहीं आते हैं और जब स्पीकर उर्दू होता है तो भी नहीं आते हैं और कंप्लेन क्या कहेंगे कि बिकॉज ऑफ दिस इंग्लिश दैट्स व्हाई वी डिडंट कम जब इंग्लिश स्पीकर हो गया तब भी नहीं आए और जिनको इंग्लिश नहीं आती वो कहते हैं कि ओ बिकॉज ऑफ द उर्दू तो यानी किसी तरीके से वो छोड़ते नहीं हैं कंप्लेन लगा रहता है और जब अल्लाह तबारक व तआला हमें ये मौका देता है कि अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह हमारे दरमियान गुड स्पीकर माशाल्लाह इंग्लिश मौजूद है और उर्दू वाले भी तो उसको हम मिस कर देते हैं दुआ करके अल्लाह तबारक व ताला हमारे अंदर से ये जो कंप्लेनिंग की जो हैबिट है इसको निकाल दे और अमन व सुकून इस दिल में अता फरमा दे सदन ने फरमाया ना कि दिल के अंदर जाना चाहिए कल हमने सीखा दिल के अंदर दुआ करके अल्लाह तबारक व ताला फिलिस्तीन के मुसलमानों की जान की माल की इज्जत की आबरू की हिफाजत फरमाए माशाल्लाह आप बारह सुनते होंगे बैतुल मुकद्दस बैतुल मकदस ये दोनों राइट बोथ इज राइट बैतुल मुकद्दस एंड बैतुल मकदस इन सम पीपल ऑल्सो कॉल द अल कुद्स इज ऑल्सो राइट इन ऑल्सो पीपल दे कॉल येलो शरम और फिलिस्तीन ये सब तमाम चीज़ें राइट है तो आप किसी और फतवा ना लगा दें कि मौलाना साहब हमने तो बैतुल मुकद्दस पढ़ा आप बैतुल मकदस कहाँ से ले आए तो ये तमाम लुगतें जो है राइट है और बैतुल मुकद्दस अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह हम सीखेंगे हमारे गेस्ट स्पीकर के जरिए इंशाअल्लाह अल्लाह फरमाता है सुबहानल्लज़ी असरा बिअब्दिही लैलम मिनल मस्जिदिल हराम इलल मस्जिदिल अक्सा लज़ी बारकना हौलहु मस्जिद अक्सा वो जिसके इर्द गिर्द हमने बरकतें रखी है वी कीप द ब्लेसिंग अराउंड द मस्जिद अक्सा अल्लामा बैजावी फरमाते हैं दोनों बरकतें हैं दीनी भी और दुनियावी भी दीनी बरकत ये है कि हजरत तमाम अंबियाओं किराम के ऊपर जो वहाँ पे जो थे उनके ऊपर वही आती थी और हजरत मूसा अलैहिस्सलाम के पास बाद जितने भी अंबियाए किराम तशरीफ लाए उन तमाम की वो जगह थी नमाज पढ़ने की वहाँ इबादत करने की जगह थी और दुनिया के अतबार से ये है कि उसका जो एरिया है माशाल्लाह नहर के अतबार से बागात के अतबार से बहुत बेहतरीन है तमाम चीज़ें वहाँ पे समझ जाओ दुनिया की वो जन्नत है बैतुल मुकद्दस तो दुनिया के अतबार से भी और दीन के अतबार से बरकत वहाँ अल्लाह तबारक उतर रख फिर ईश्वर फरमाए हबारकना हौलहू लिनुरियहू मिन आयातिना उसके इर्द गिर्द हमने बरकतें रखी है अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह सुम्मा अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह और वो कहते नहीं सोने पे सुहागा उसकी बरकत में और इजाफा हो गया कब जब नबी करीम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम मेराज की रात में वहां गए और तमाम अंबियाए किराम को उन्होंने नमाज पढ़ाई उनके पीछे मस्जिद अक्सा में जब नमाज पढ़ाई तमाम अंबिया नबी करीम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के पीछे अपनी अपनी नमाजें अदा की तो उसकी बरकत में और इजाफा हो गया अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह नाउ विदाउट एनी डिले फॉर द नात 2-3 अशआर I would like to call Hafiz Ikram sahab for 2-3 ashar. Uske baad inshallah Allama sahab will be here inshallah. Nare takbir, nare risalat.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله امداد کن از رنج غم آزاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن یا غوث اعظم دستگیر امداد کن از رنج و غم آزاد شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن یا غوث اعظم دستگیر امداد کن تیرے ہاتھ میں نے دیا ہے تیرے ہاتھ میں نے دیا ہے تیرے ہاتھ ہے لاج یا غوث اعظم امداد کن از رنج و غم آزاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن یا غوث اعظم دستگیر امداد کن کن باور میں پھنسا ہے سفینہ ہمارا باور میں پھنسا ہے سفینہ ہمارا بچا غوث اعظم بچا غوث اعظم امداد کن از رنج و غم آزاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن یا غوث اعظم دستگیر امداد کن جزاک اللہ
MashaAllah, after the Manqabat, now I'm going to call our guest speaker, His Eminence, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Mahim Sahib Qibla, Khatib o Imam, Jama Masjid Kensington. Let's welcome to Hazrat Sahib with the Nare Takbir Risalat. Nare Takbir, Nare Risalat, Walma Yahle Sunnah, Nare Takbir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد خلت من قبلكم سنن فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين آمين صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله It's been a very, very difficult time for everybody who calls themselves a Muslim. When they have seen atrocities, some of them like we have never seen before. We have seen countless of our brothers and our sisters killed. They haven't been shown any mercy. Every single time we turn on the news, we see calamity after calamity. And this has taken its toll on a lot of people. And many people have said, after looking at this, I'm so depressed. I feel so down. I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do. And like this, we have suffered. And we have seen our brothers and our sisters suffer. And that really makes us suffer as well. When we see mothers crying, mothers who have just seen their children being killed, a mother who just saw her child in the hospital and then she recognized that is her own daughter, and all of a sudden she lost control. And it really breaks the human heart. You don't have to be a Muslim for this to affect you. Anyone who has an ounce of humanity, this should affect them, this should trouble them. And subhanAllah, many people have spoken out all across the world, but still right now we see the genocide. We see that us as Muslims, as a nation, we are unable to respond. And there's very little that we can do apart from protest, raise our voice. But one of the best things that we can do is gain knowledge, increase in ilm, understand the situation, know what our role is in the future. How can we raise our children? How can we become better people? How can we instill the love of Palestine into the generation that is to come? This is still within our control. So it's advice from me to anyone that whatever is beyond your control, leave it out of your control, because you are not Allah. This is in the hands of Allah. This is all from the test of Allah. But whatever is in our control, whatever we have a choice to do, whatever we can do, then it's our responsibility as a Muslim to do so. Allah Almighty says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah Almighty says, have taqwa of Allah however much you are able to have that taqwa. It's all based on ability. Our ability doesn't go beyond the realms of the city of London that we sit in. And one of the things that we can do is to inspire and learn. Learn about our tradition. Learn about the sacred land of Palestine. Learn about the history of Islam. Learn about the history of the messengers. Learn about the great people that have came before. Learn about the evil ones that have come before. And learn how their name was extinct and now doesn't remain beyond any history whatsoever, because they have failed. And it's really those who are good, those who have fear of Allah, those who have istiqamah, those who remain steadfast, is those who have passed that test. And inshallah, just as a lengthy introduction, I'd like to tell you about, inshallah, we'll speak a lot about the Quran in this. This will be a very Quran-centric speech so that people can understand what does he say in the Quran. And one of the things that we all need to understand, whether that's the issue of Palestine, whether that's the Muslims in China, whether that's the Muslims in India, Burma, many people think, why are these people being killed? You know, we always say that these people are beloved to Allah. Allah loves these people. Allah adores these people. Then why are they being massacred? Why is there bloodshed on this scale? Why does a mother have to lose her child? Why does a father have to lose his son? Why does a sibling have to lose their other sibling? Many people, they're confused. And when people get upset, they don't know what is the Quranic approach in regards to these things. And subhanAllah, this is explained so clearly in Surah Ali Imran. Allah Almighty, he says, and Allah Almighty is talking to the Muslims. At this instant in the time when this ayah was revealed, you all know about the Battle of Badr. How the Muslims were victorious, how the great warriors were born, how the name of Islam rose. But then you had the Battle of Uhud, and many of you know that the Muslims had a setback. We all know that Sayyiduna Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he lost his life, and he lost his life tragically. We know that his liver was chewed. We know that the Muslims, that they left their place, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam told them to stay. And Uhud was a setback. This was when the Muslims were down. It's a very similar feeling to today. When we see our brothers and sisters being massacred, it makes us feel down. You know, we become weak from the inside. We feel helpless. And this was a very similar situation that the Muslims faced in Uhud. At Badr, they were victorious. But there was a setback in the Battle of Uhud. And, you know, now we think about our history, we glorify the historical names that have come before. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, Usman the son of Urtrul. We glorify these people and we praise them. But now we're in a state that is difficult. We see our brothers and our sisters being massacred. It's hard to take. And the Muslims were in a very similar situation after the Battle of Uhud. But what did Allah Almighty say? He says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ. Okay, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ. You know, sunan comes from the word sunnah. Sunnah means a practice. And when somebody continuously practices something, that becomes his state. Allah Almighty says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ. The states of previous nations have already passed before you. You know about the states of the previous nations. You've had Ad, you've had Thamud, you've had the people of the Pharaoh, you've had the people of Lut alayhi salam. All of their stories, they've already passed before you. And Allah Almighty, He says, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah Almighty, He says something amazing. He says, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Travel across the earth. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And see how was the punishment of those who falsified the message. Do you know this Ibn Rafa'a rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam, he says, you know, traveling can be done in two ways. He says one is hissi, physical, and that's when you physically travel to places to see something. And one is ma'nawi, one is mental. And this is traveling via reading a book of history, for example. When you read a book of history, it's as though the image is in front of you. But Allah Almighty, He doesn't say, read the books of history. He says, actually go and travel and see how the punishment was of those who falsified the message. Do you know? The people of Ad, you know, the people of Hud alayhi salam, you know, their houses were still present at the time of the Arabs. They used to live in Yemen near the city of Hadramaut. And the Arabs, they would go and they would see the ruins to take the lesson. The people of Thamud, they lived between the area of Medina and the area of Sham. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions this. And the Arabs, you know, Allah Almighty, He told them, go and travel and see the punishment with your own eyes. And one of the reasons why Allah Almighty, He never said read about this, He said go and see this. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, receiving news is not like seeing it with your very own eyes. And Allah Almighty, He said, go and see how we punish those with your own eyes. Go and see. Take a look at how these people, they were strong. You know, they terrorized other people. They thought they were greater than people. They belittled the messengers. But Allah Almighty said, we destroyed them. Go and see how we destroyed them. And Allah Almighty, He's saying this to the Muslims at the time of Uhud, when they've just had this setback, when they're seeing everything, and they're thinking, how can we overcome this? How can we overcome the setback that we have faced? Allah Almighty says, there were people who thought they were everything, but we crushed them. And Allah Almighty, He says, هَذَا بَيَانُ لِلنَّاسِ. This is a clarification for people. And we need clarification in times of confusion, wallahi. This is a time of confusion. Allah Almighty says, you know, this ayah that we have just explained to you, the way Allah Almighty works, He says, هَذَا بَيَانُ لِلنَّاسِ. This is an explanation for people. وَهُدَى. And this is a form of guidance. وَمَوْعِظَى. And this is a lesson lil muttaqin, for those who have taqwa. What's the lesson? The lesson is, don't just think that because you have won one single battle that Allah Almighty cannot defeat you. And the lesson is, don't think just because you seem to be in defeat that one day you will not rise and you will overcome every single nation. Wallahi, there's many examples throughout history where we have seen people seemingly win, but they have lost. And we have seen people lose, but they have won. And the best example of that is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he lost his head, blessed head in Karbala. His family were massacred, you know. But where's the victory? Was the victory for Yazid? The victory wasn't for Yazid. Seemingly he won. But 1400 years later, we know that he lost. Imam al-Hussein, seemingly he lost. But all those years later, we know that he won. It's his name that lives on. And Allah Almighty, he says, straight after this, he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا. O believers, do not become weak. You know, وَهَنَا يَهِنُوا وَهَنُونَ. It means to become weak. Allah Almighty says in the Quran, وَهَنَا الْعَظْمُ. About Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salam, he said, my bones have become weak in old age. Allah Almighty, he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Despite the tragedy that you see in front of you, despite the seeming setback that you see, do not become weak. This is a message for every single one of us. This is the time where seemingly many of us are becoming weak. You know, we look, we don't know what to do. We don't know which direction to head in. Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Do not become weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And do not grieve. Because you know why? Grief, sometimes it destroys a human being. The human being becomes powerless. Allah Almighty is saying to the believers at that time, after the setback of Uhud, do not grieve. Do not become weak. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you believe, you will be the ones who rise. You will be the ones who be successful. You will be the ones that overcome the enemy. And then Allah Almighty says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ. If a wound has afflicted you, remember at that time they lost Hamza, they lost others as well. إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ. If a wound has afflicted you, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهٌ مِثْلُهُ. Then a wound has surely afflicted them, which was the same before, meaning in the battle of Uhud. If you lost today, if there was your setback there today, then remember, they were defeated yesterday. They were defeated in Badr. And then Allah Almighty, he says an ayah which many of you would have, when we discussed the issue of Palestine, you would have seen it on your feeds. And maybe you wouldn't have known what he meant, or you wouldn't have understood the context. Allah Almighty says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. We alternate the days of victory and defeat between people. This is the sunnah of Allah. Everything works in a cycle. One day you will be victorious, the other day you will be defeated. One day you will rise in the flag of La ilaha illallah within your hand, at another time you will be crushed on the ground. This is the sunnah of Allah. Sunnat Allahi allati kad khalaw min qabl. The sunnah of Allah which was practiced with those before you. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will never see a change in the sunnah of Allah. This is the practice of Allah. One day He'll give you victory. One day you'll be defeated. One day you'll be happy. The other day you'll be sad. One day you'll be in ecstasy. The other day you'll be in pain. And this is how this cycle works. And what is the purpose of this cycle? You know, many people would ask, why can't we always be happy? Why can't we always be victorious? Why can't we be victorious all the time? Why do we have to see people suffer? Why do we have to suffer? And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Ahlul Sunnah, he says underneath this verse, he says that if Allah Almighty always gave you victory, if there was never any defeat, then there would be no test. And what is this dunya? This dunya is darul bala. This dunya is a home of being tested. This is a test for you. Victory is a test. Are you grateful? Defeat is a test. Will you show sabr? You know, being put into position your whole community being happy with you. These are moments of goodness. But then the sad times are also there so that you can be tested. Subhanallah, the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they used to say, we used to prefer the difficult times over the easy times. Why? Because we know after the difficulty there will come ease, but when we're in a time of ease, we're not far from difficulty. This was the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do you think the Sahaba rose to such heights? They were just Arabs in the middle of nowhere. They never weren't trained in combat. They weren't some special, specific warriors on the earth. But what did they have? They had that iman and taqwa. That wa antumul a'lawn. You will rise in kuntum mu'mineen. If you have iman. And Allah Almighty, He says, we have given you this test. Why? He says, we alternate these days, لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَى. So that Allah can show you who has iman, and so that He may take from you shuhada. Subhanallah, you know. Look at that test. This is the reason why there's a cycle. So that Allah can show who has iman, and He may take from you shuhada. So don't feel overly sad for them people who have lost their life. They've lost their life being shuhada. They've lost their life, you know, inshallah, they will be in Jannatul Firdaus. Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah, he says one shuhada comes, one of the reasons that he has this name is because as soon as they die, they enter into Jannatul Firdaus. Don't feel sad for these people. Don't feel, oh, of course you feel sad, you feel upset. But don't let it, you know, destroy you to the, you know, to the position that you think, what's going on in this world? What am I doing down here? Let this be a motivation for you so that you can rise. Just like those people have defended their land. And Allah Almighty, He says, well, you mahisa alladhina amanu. We've given them this test so that Allah Almighty can cleanse those who have iman. Do you know when you're a shaheed, all of the sins that you have, those sins are cleansed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And so that He may destroy the kafirin. So all of this, do not think that this cycle happens for no reason. There's a purpose to this cycle. And our mission is, where do we fit into this cycle? We see this cycle every single time. And all, throughout human history, we have seen this cycle. And it's our turn, it's our test that we're in a state seemingly of defeat. Seemingly this is a setback for us. But inshallah, that day will come where we will rise, inshallah. And we will show that we are true believers. We must have this iman. We must have this faith. And inshallah, for us to even understand the issue of Palestine, we need to understand the Quranic history of Palestine. What does the Quran say about Palestine? What is this land, Palestine, Philistine? Because we have three great traditions that all stem from the Abraham, alayhi salam, the Jewish tradition, the Christian tradition, and the Islamic tradition. And one of the weaknesses of us as Muslims is we only focus on our tradition. Sometimes many of us will know very little about the Christian tradition or the Jewish tradition. You know, that is an insult to ilm, actually. We must learn about all traditions. You must, of course, first learn your own tradition and then learn about the other traditions, because every single thing that we learn, this will help us in understanding the issue that we have today. Okay? Because all of us, we all say the Muslims, the Christians and the Jews, we all come from Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam is our role model. He's our father Abraham. But then what is the history of the land of Palestine? One thing that you need to know before is Allah Almighty, He sent messengers before Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you know most of them, Adam and Noah and Sayyiduna Hud alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. But one thing that everyone must know is Allah Almighty, He used to send individuals before. So Allah Almighty individually picked Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Individually He picked Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam. As an individual He picked Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam. But now in the time of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, everything changed. Allah Almighty, He says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuh wa Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imran ala al-alamin. Allah Almighty has chosen Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam But now he doesn't say Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says wa ala Ibrahim. He has chosen the family of Abraham. He's chosen the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wa ali Imran, and the family of Imran, ala al-alamin, over the rest of the universe. Before the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, prophets came as individuals. Now a family is chosen. And this is imperative that we understand this from the Muslim tradition as well. It's not just Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam being chosen. Allah Almighty has said, I have chosen his entire family. Allah Almighty says about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I have made you an imam for the people. And subhanAllah, look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam says, what about my progeny? Because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did dua for the success of him and his children. Do you know this dua that we read in salah all the time? رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِوَالِدَيَّ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. This dua that we read is from the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He did dua for his parents. He did dua for his progeny. And he says to Allah, what about my progeny? What about my children? And Allah Almighty says in the Quran, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. My promise will never reach the wrongdoers. As in other words, Ibrahim, I have chosen your family. But if there are wrongdoers in your family, it doesn't matter if they are from your family, they are not the ones who will fulfill my promise. So from the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, I'll make it very simple for you. You have Abu Bakr. Whenever you hear the name of Abu Bakr, we know what we think and what's inside our hearts. But then again, you have Abu Lahab, family of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Those who are chosen from the family of Abraham are those who follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, now his entire family is chosen. It's not an individual anymore. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had two famous children. And one child was Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And one child was Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. And these were two special children. And now Allah Almighty, before there used to be prophets from the people that he chose, but now prophethood has been limited to one family. Prophethood from now on will only be in the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is a special favor that Allah Almighty gave to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that he answered, that he was a Nabi, he was a Rasul, he was an Imam, and Nubuwah would come from his line, his progeny. And so you had Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and we all know how Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, alongside Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, they built the Kaaba. Okay? According to some scholars, the Kaaba had already been built before. They reconstructed the Kaaba. Some say, no, this was the first time that the Kaaba was built. Allah Almighty knows best. But anyhow, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, they built the Kaaba. And this area of Makkah became a haram. And this area became a chosen land. And then Allah Almighty, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, his other son Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, Allah Almighty gave them the land of Kan'an. Kan'an is the historical name for the land of Palestine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, the first masjid on the earth was Masjidul Haram. And the second masjid is Masjidul Aqsa. And between them there was a period of 40 years. So if you go by the opinion that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, first the Kaaba was built. The foundations of the Haram were laid. And then it was Masjidul Aqsa. And between them there was a period of 40 years. And now this is when certain lands became sacred. You know, the area of the Haram now, that became a sacred land. No fighting can take place in that area. No blood is spilt in that area. We've made that area a Haram. And Allah Almighty, he chose that area for himself. And just like he chose the area of the Haram, he also chose the land of Masjidul Aqsa. And this is what's important for every Muslim to recognize. Just like we believe that Mecca is sacred, we believe the same about Masjidul Aqsa, Al-Quds al-Sharif, that is a sacred piece of land. And now we have a verse from the Bible, which is quoted from the book of Genesis, where it says, this is in the Old Testament, the Lord said to Abraham, to your offspring, to your seed, I will give this land. To your seed, I will give this land. And now based on this verse, the Christians and the Jews have split into two. The Jewish tradition, especially those who are follow Zionism, what do they say? They say that, you know, this land that Allah Almighty has said that he has given to Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam. Because one thing you need to know is Ibrahim alayhi salam, his son is Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam. Ishaq alayhi salam, his son is Sayyiduna Ya'qub alayhi salam. The laqab, the title of Ya'qub alayhi salam is Israel. That's why they call them the children of Israel. Because it's the laqab of Sayyiduna Ya'qub, the title of Sayyiduna Ya'qub alayhi salam. And so the children of Israel, the Jews, they say based on this verse that we have, this land has been promised to us. It's important to for Muslims to understand what do these people say. They believe based on this verse of the Bible, to the offspring of Abraham, we promised, to his seed, we promised this land. And this land of Canaan even extends to a little of Egypt. The map that you see of the so-called state of Israel today, and what is of course Palestine, this is the land of Canaan. And this land, it says in the Bible that this land was promised to the seed of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the Jews, they say, and the Zionists from them, they say that this means us, that anybody who is a Jew, that this land belongs specifically to them. This is the historical significance. This is why they believe that this land belongs to us. But the Christians, they take a different interpretation. The Christians, they say that the seed of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the meaning of this is that this refers to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. Because remember, say all of the prophets from Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam up until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them are from the family of Ishaq alayhi salam, ending with Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. And the Christians, they say, and Paul from them, he says, the seed of Abraham, who does this refer to? This refers to Jesus. And when it mentions this in plural in the Bible, it means all of the followers of Jesus. So they believe that this land belongs to them. And this is the historical significance behind this. But subhanAllah, those who are Orthodox Jews, those who follow their book properly, they all say, and you can see this is not something hidden, they all say and they admit, because of our violations against God, Allah Almighty took this promise away from us. This land that we believe is ours is no longer our promised land. So as opposed to the Zionists from them, they believe this is the promised land for them because they are Jews. But the Orthodox Jews, they say, because of our violations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that promise was taken away from us. And inshallah, I'm going to prove to you that that's closer to the Quranic narrative. Because the Jews, when they were in this land, remember this land, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, now after him there's two sacred pieces of land. One belongs to Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam and his descendants, which is the land of the Haram. And one is Canaan, which is Palestine, which belongs to Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam. And now this land of Palestine that belongs to Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam, as his progeny begins to grow, and you have the Banu Israel, many of them, they violated the commands of Allah throughout history. So what did they do? From amongst their violations is that they used to kill Anbiya. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Allah Almighty says, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They used to kill prophets without any right. So these people, when you see the atrocities they are committing now, many of them, they killed Anbiya before. They killed the messengers of Allah. And this is mentioned in the Quran. And many a time, they were exiled from that area. From that area of Canaan, they were exiled from that area. And when they were, after the time of Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, they moved to Egypt. Now Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, he's the son of Sayyiduna Ya'qub alayhi salam. And remember, Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, now he moves to Egypt. And his reign is in Egypt. And the Jews, they became slaves over a period of over time in the land of Egypt. And then after that, what happened? We all know that Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, he came to the land of Egypt and he rescued them. And he brought them back to the promised land. And Allah Almighty, he mentions this in the Quran. He says, Ya Qawmi, ادخلوا الارض المقدسه التي كتب الله لكم. O people, enter the muqaddas land, the sacred land which Allah Almighty has prescribed for you. So even as Muslims, we do believe there was a time that Allah, this was the promised land for them. Because Allah Almighty says, udkhulul ard al muqaddasat allati, enter the muqaddas, the sacred land which has been prescribed for you. Wala tartaddu, and do not become apostates. So Allah Almighty, He gave them this land, He promised them this land, and He warned them, do not disobey my message. But again, in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, time after time, they disobeyed the message of Allah. And from amongst their disobedience was worshipping a calf. When Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam went away, what did they start to do? They decided to start worshipping a calf. And when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam came back, he was furious. And Allah Almighty, He says, as a punishment in the Quran, what does He say? فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Eliminate yourselves. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That is better for you. So even in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, many a time they were disobedient. And even after the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, they killed many of the prophets and the messengers of Allah. And this is when they began to become exiled from that land. And this is the period known as their diaspora, where they became separated to different unions, different places, and they never had a homeland. But some of them, still until today, many of them, they believe that we have violated against Allah. This is a punishment for us. But many of them still believe that they are the chosen people. And at the time of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, their disobedience became clear. And they intended to kill Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. They wanted to kill Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. And Allah Almighty, He mentions in the Quran how He raised Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam up until the heavens. And Allah Almighty, He says, and this is one of the most powerfulest verses in regards to this, He says, وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah Almighty, He said, He made those who follow Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam above the Jews up until the day of judgment. And Allah Almighty says this was a punishment for disobeying Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. So many of the Mufassireen, they say anyone who has a nisbah to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, like the Christians, like the Muslims, even though we have varying theologies, we are not the same in our belief, anyone who has a link to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, they were given precedence over the Jews up until the day of judgment. And one of the modern interpretations of this is that there's not a single country in the world, except one so-called country, that there's more Jews than Christians or Muslims. The Muslims and the Christians always outnumber the Jews. And this is because Allah Almighty, He says, وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We have made those who follow you, as in Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, above those who have disbelieved, as in the Jews, up until the day of judgment. So until the day of judgment, there will never be a time where the Jews as a nation or as a people will overcome the Christians and the Muslims in totality. Even though they may have this so-called victory, if you can, you know, it's a dishonor to even call this a victory, but whatever you see in front of you, do not ever think that they will gain the upper hand over you, because Allah Almighty has said that until the day of judgment, we have made you over them. You have superseded them. You have dominated over them. And this is when, of course, we know that throughout history that they struggled and nobody accepted them in their lands and people brutally murdered them unjustly. There was the Holocaust as well. But now coming to the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have discussed that region of Kan'an now. We've said that belonged to Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam. Allah Almighty, He chose that land from Ishaq to Ya'qub to Yusuf to Musa to Isa alayhi salam. It was a sacred land. And now coming to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no prophet has been sent from the line of Ismail alayhi salam. And even some of the family of Ismail alayhi salam, even though they had the Kaaba, some of them became idol worshippers, or the majority of them became idol worshippers. But there was one family who had members that only worshipped one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was part of the family of Quraysh. The family of Quraysh, many of them, they only worshipped one Allah, despite the fact that they were seeing the other children of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam turning away from the path of Allah. They worshipped one Allah. And this was the time up until the time of Hashim, the great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed away only at the age of 33. 33 years old. Some historians even say 25. He was somebody who worshipped only one Allah. And this was somebody who was the custodian of the haram. Subhanallah, once there was a rival who stood up to Hashim. And, you know, the grandfather of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, at that time, he said to that person, "You have great qualities, but don't think you can stand in front of Hashim. Because this person, if you stand in front of him, I swear by Allah, you will be defeated." This is the power that this man has, Hashim. Hashim's son was Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, his son was Abdullah. And subhanallah, when Abdullah would walk past every single female or many females in that region, because he looked so beautiful, everyone wanted to marry him. Because they saw the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he gave birth to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spread the message of Tawheed. But remember, this is in the land of the Haram. This is in Jaziratul Arab. And now, Kan'an, that region, the Jews have been eliminated from that land. They have been scattered across different countries. And then Allah Almighty, He says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. Allah Almighty, He took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night journey. And He took him to Aqsa. And you know this area, Aqsa, many people, they had forgotten about this area, especially those who lived in the Arabian Peninsula. They forgot about the significance of Aqsa. So many people might think, why was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why was he taken to Aqsa? And some of the Mufassireen, they write that, you know, this area, Aqsa, at this time now, fast forward all of them years later, the Arabs had completely forgotten the significance of Aqsa. Why? Because they were based around the Haram. The Jews, they were banished from that area. And the Christians, they never used to visit the Aqsa area because of their hatred for the Jews. So people forgot about the importance of this area, Al-Aqsa. And it's at this time that Allah Almighty, He says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-Aqsa. Praise be to the one who took his servant in a small period of the night from Masjid al-Haram up until Masjid al-Aqsa. And look what Allah Almighty says about Masjid al-Aqsa. He says, "Alladhi barakna hawlahu." We have put barakah in the surrounding areas of Aqsa. Just pay attention to this verse. Barakna hawlahu. Allah Almighty doesn't say we have put barakah in Al-Aqsa. He says we have put barakah in the surrounding areas of Aqsa. As in to say, if I have put barakah in the surrounding areas of Aqsa, imagine that the barakah that is present in the Masjid al-Aqsa itself. You know, this is how Allah Almighty, He describes Al-Aqsa. He says, barakah surrounding it. Barakah within Masjid Al-Aqsa. Because many of the Arabs, they were forgetting their tradition and the history of Al-Aqsa before, Allah Almighty, it's as though He reminded the Arabs, don't just think there's only one haram in the world and that's in Mecca. There's another haram and that lies in the place now of Palestine, which is known as Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Allah Almighty says, barakna hawlahu. We have put barakah in the surrounding areas, linuriyahu min ayatina, so that we can show you from here our signs. Allah Almighty picked Masjid al-Aqsa to show His signs to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And now when the Muslims, they started to pray salah, they would face Masjid al-Aqsa. There's even a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he says, if anyone puts on ihram for hajj or umrah from Masjid al-Aqsa, then his past and future sins will all be forgiven. This is the barakah of this land al-Aqsa. And now when the Muslims, they were reminded of the glory of al-Aqsa, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, and he says this with pride, you know, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, nobody on this earth remains who faced both Qiblas. Remember, the Qibla was first towards Al-Aqsa, then towards Mecca. He said, nobody remains who faced both of the Qibla except me. I'm the only one who remains who faced Masjid Al-Aqsa And then I faced Makkatul Mukarramah. So since that time, the Muslims, when people accepted the deen of Islam, people realized the importance of Al-Aqsa. People remembered their tradition. Because remember, we're not like other people. We're not a racial religion. We don't run by ethnicities. Yes, we believe that Nubuwa is in the line of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. We believe in the greatness of the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is not a religion based on one race. We believe that if Allah Almighty chooses anyone for wilaya, then He'll give wilaya to anyone. And we're not like certain religions who say, this is only for us, or this is promised for us. Subhanallah, these people were promised everything before. Allah Almighty, He says about the Banu Israel, فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. I gave them precedence over the universe. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. We chose them based on knowledge over the rest of the universe. It's clear that they were chosen. But what does being chosen mean? Being chosen means you have a responsibility. And once you're chosen, you have to fulfill that responsibility. If you fail in that responsibility, then you will be from those who are destroyed. Allah Almighty, do you know whenever He gives somebody a special quality, that doesn't mean that you can just brag about that quality and say everything belongs to us. Subhanallah, Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Allah Almighty sets an example of those who believed, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ. They were underneath two servants of ours. مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ. As in Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Lut, they were salih, they were people of piety, they were righteous. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. And then these two wives, even though they had the nisbah of being a wife to a Nabi, فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. They betrayed them. And Allah Almighty says, وَكِيلَ دْخُلَ النَّارُ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. It will be said to them, enter the fire with those who enter. Just because you have that relationship, it doesn't mean that you are promised and you are special, or you can say anything to anyone else. It means you have a responsibility. You have a burden. Allah Almighty says about the son of Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam, Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. O Nuh, he's not from your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. His actions are not righteous. Even though he's his blood son, Allah Almighty says, because he has turned away from that responsibility of Tawheed, then Allah Almighty says, we destroyed him. Just because you have been given a special relationship, it does not mean that you can brag and you can say that this is ours forever. Once you let go of your responsibility, then you will become a people who are destroyed. Allah Almighty says about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were to go near any indecency, we will give you double the punishment. Why? Because you have a link to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if someone else does it, okay, it's still a sin. If you go near, then you will get double the punishment. So when Allah Almighty gives you a responsibility, then it's your job to fulfill that responsibility. And these people, Allah Almighty gave them precedence over the universe. He chose their families. He chose their people. He gave them the blessed land. He sent prophets from their people. And what did many of them do? They did khiyana. They betrayed that message, because the responsibility of the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what is their responsibility? Is to be the flag bearers of Tawheed. And Allah Almighty, because of their rebellion, Allah Almighty, He took this away from them. When Allah Almighty says that we've given superiority to those who have a link to Isa alayhi salam over the Jews, we believe as Muslims that that right that they once had, that right is gone now. They were given everything, but Allah Almighty took everything away from them. And who did Allah Almighty pick in their place? Allah Almighty says, "Huwajtabakum wama ja'ala 'alaykum fid din min haraj." He has chosen you. The Sahaba, Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has chosen you. Wama ja'ala 'alaykum fid din min haraj. He has not made difficulty in this religion. Millata abikum Ibrahim. The religion of your father Abraham. Huwa sammakumul muslimin. And He has called you Muslims. So this right that they once had, Allah Almighty has given us this sharaf. Why? Because we are those who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And one thing for every believer to know, even the second part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is just a wasila to get to the maqsad. And what's the maqsad? La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. And this was the you know, this was the mission of the children of Abraham. And now this mission has been given to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We do not believe that that land of Palestine is theirs. We don't believe that they have a special control over that land. We believe, nor do we believe that we have, the way they claim, a special inheritance over that land. Palestinians have been living in that land for years. This is their home. And since Allah Almighty, He gave the role of, you know, victory, and He gave the fadila and the benefits of victory to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe that has abrogated, that has come before, in terms of them having a claim over that land. And it's essential for every single Muslim to know this and to understand this well. Because before you analyze anything, many people, subhanAllah, they know about what's happening today. They know about, you know, the history of Palestine or the recent history of Palestine. But the reason I spoke about this today is many people do not know the original narrative of the Quran in regards to these people. Before we educate ourselves of what's happening today or what's happening in recent history, we must understand the history of the Quran that has come before, and how Allah Almighty, He gave them this piece of land, how Allah Almighty blessed the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how they violated the, you know, what Allah Almighty, whatever He commanded them to do, they disobeyed His instruction, they killed His messengers, and then Allah Almighty says that those who have a nisba to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, we have given them fawqiyah, we have given them superiority over those who believe, disbelieve, i.e. the Jews, up until the Day of Judgment. And it's imperative that we learn about the history of Aqsa. Inshallah, there will be a program in Jamia Mosque next Sunday about the recent history of Palestine. That will be after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah. So I advise all of you, please do come along. And just as we have been through the Quranic history of Palestine, inshallah, learn about the modern history of Palestine as well. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to have the love of Palestine within our hearts, to understand Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Suhani ghadi chamkate Suhani ghadi chamkate Baka chaad us dil afroz Saat pe laakhon salam Hum gareebon ke aqa pe be حد درود ہم غریبوں کے آقا پہ بے حد درود ہم فقیروں کے سروت پہ لاکھوں سلام کاش محشر میں جب ان کی آمد ہو اور بھیجے سب ان کی شوکت پہ لاکھوں سلام مجھ سے خدمات کے قود سی کہے ہاں رضا مجھ سے خدمات کے قود سی کہے ہاں رضا مصطفیٰ جانِ رحمت پہ لاکھوں کو سلام شمع بزم ہدایت پہ لاکھو سلام یا نبی سلام یا رسول سلام علیکا، یا حبیب سلام علیکا، صلوات اللہ علیکا، صلوات اللہ علیکا، الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ، الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ، الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ، وعلى آلک واصحابک یا شفیعنا یوم الجزاء۔
دعا کے لیے بیٹھے ہیں، تشریف رکھیں۔ الحمدللہ، میں اپنی طرف سے اور ہماری کمیٹی کی طرف سے علامہ صاحب کا مشکور شکر گزار ہوں کہ حضرت نے اپنا قیمتی وقت نکالا اور یہاں ہمیں ٹائم دیا، کیونکہ اللہ تبارک و تعالی حضرت نے جو کچھ بیان کیا اس پر ہم تمام کو عمل کرنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرمائے۔ دعا کے لیے میں حضرت سے، الفاتحہ۔ اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم، صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم۔ يا الله يا رحمان يا ارحم الراحمين، ہم یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے مسجد قبا میں حاضر ہوئے، نماز عشاء با جماعت ادا کی، اس کے بعد مختصر سا بیان ہوا، تلاوت ہوئی، نعت شریف پڑھی گئی۔ یا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ، اس کے کرنے میں کرانے میں کسی قسم کی کمی ہوئی تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم کے واسطے سے معاف فرما اور اسے قبول فرما، وہ اپنے شایان شان تو نے جو اس کا ہمیں ثواب عطا کیا ہے، ان تمام ثوابوں کو سب سے پہلے نبی کریم صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم کی بارگاہ بقسم نام نذر کرتے ہیں، اللہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ ان کے وسیلے جلیس کا ثواب تمام انبیاء کرام، تمام صحابہ کرام، بالخصوص خلفائے راشدین حضرت ابوبکر صدیق، حضرت عمر فاروق، حضرت عثمان غنی، حضرت مولا علی رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ اجمعین کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں، علیہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ شہدائے کربلا، شہدائے بدر و حنین، شہدائے احد، امام حسن، امام حسین، حضرت بی بی فاطمہ زہرا، سید الشہداء حضرت امیر حمزہ، نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے والدین، امہات المؤمنین، ان کے اولاد اطہار رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ مجمعین کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں، علیہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ چاروں اماموں کو، تابعین، تبع تابعین، دنیا کے تمام اولیاء کرام، بالخصوص حضور غوث پاک حضرت میری سنجری رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ مجمعین کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں، علیہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ تمام علماء کرام، حضرت آدم علیہ السلام سے لے کر اب تک دنیا میں جتنے مسلمان جا چکے ہیں، قیامت تک جتنے آئیں گے، ان تمام کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں، علیہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ بالخصوص بالخصوص فلسطین میں جو لوگ شہید ہوئے ہیں، ان تمام کے ارواحوں کو پیش کرتے ہیں، علیہ سے قبول و منظور فرما۔ تمام مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، فلسطین کے شہیدوں کی مغفرت فرما، ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما، ان کے گھر والوں کو، لواحقین کو، تمام کو صبر جمیل عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ یا الرحمین، ہماری اس محفل کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ، اس کے صدقے طفیل ہم تمام کے صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما، روزی روزگار برکت عطا فرما۔ ہم تمام کو بالخصوص فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی جان، کی مال، کی عزت، کی آبرو، کی عقیدے کی حفاظت فرما۔ یا اللہ، فلسطین کی مسلمانوں کو فتح نصرت عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ، فلسطین کی تو حفاظت فرما، اسلام کا بول بالا فرما، کفر کا منہ کالا فرما۔ یا اللہ، علامہ صاحب نے جو بیان کیا اس پر ہم تمام کو، پہلے مجھ کو اور ہم تمام کو، عمل کرنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما، اور ہم تمام کو توفیق عطا فرما کہ زیادہ سے زیادہ تیرے علم کو ہم حاصل کر لیں۔ یا اللہ، یا الرحمین، ہم پر کرم فرما، اپنی رحمت انوار کی بارش فرما۔ یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے اپنے اپنے دلوں میں کون سی دعائیں لیے حاضر ہیں، اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان کی تمام جائز دعاؤں قبول فرما، تمام جائز مقاصد کو پورا فرما۔ ہمیں جو بھی اولاد ہو نیک اور صالح اولاد عطا فرما، اور جو اولاد والوں کے اولادوں کو نیک اور صالح بنا، والدین کا مطیع و فرما بردار بنا۔ ہمارے امین میں فرشتوں کی امین کو داخل و شامل فرما۔ ہم تمام کو، فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کو، تمام کو عزت و وقار کے ماحول میں زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ، یا الرحمین، ہم پر کرم فرما، اپنے رحمت وار کی بارش فرما۔ ہمارے گھروں میں، فیملی، بچوں میں، دوستوں میں، جو کوئی بیمار، ان تمام کو صحت کامل و عاجل عطا فرما، ان تمام کو صحت تندرستی عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ ہم پر کرم فرما، یا ربی بالمصطفیٰ بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى یا واسع الکرم، مولا یصلی وسلم دائما عبدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم، ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما۔ اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم۔ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين۔ بحق لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم۔